Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Erlen Khabib. There's just one little thing I want to say. And that little thing is Ribono shel olam. Ani ohev otcha. Here we go.
Ribono shel olam. Anachnu ohavim otcha. Ribono
interview, and then I also have Josh Hasen, who's an author and radio host from Israel. He interviewed Republican running vice presidential running mate Mike Pence. I think it was last year sometime when Mike Pence was visiting Israel. So we're going to get Josh's take on Mike Pence and how his views on Israel and all that sort of stuff. So without further ado, I'm going to get going here and play the Pamela Geller interview. So here we go. Leslie M. Stoffel here at Real Clear Israel Radio, and I've got my hero and my mentor, Pamela Geller on the line. Pamela, I so admire her courage for standing up for fighting for our freedoms in the West. She's a human rights and free speech activist. She is the president of American Freedom Defense Initiative. She has authored the books The Post-American Presidency and Stop the Islamization of America and Freedom or Submission on the Dangers of Islamic Extremism and American Complacency. She and Robert Spencer, in my opinion, are the go-to resources for all information on the global jihad that the media tries to cover up. Her webpage is PamelaGeller.com. She has had her life threatened on many occasions due to her truth-telling work on the jihad. She can be found all over social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And welcome to the show, Pamela Geller.
Hey, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing this. We need more voices like yours.
Oh, you're welcome. So I've almost been stalking you for like 8 years on social media. Because honestly, Pamela, I became so concerned about this after 9/11. I became concerned with this jihad, and I started to study what I could. And then I noticed that things started disappearing. Like, they used to have truthful documentaries and things, and then everything started to disappear. And then when Facebook came around, I had gone to Israel for the first time in 2008, and then it really sort of opened my eyes that this is just what they're fighting, is really just the global jihad. And I started sort of piecing this together. And that's when I first started following you, after I heard you on Tamar Yonah's show. So I followed you ever since so closely, and I practically every day I post yours and Robert's stuff, because something is happening every day. And yet the details are left out in the actual media, and the only place I can get truth and get it out to people, because I'm obsessed with this now because of the dangers we're in, is from you. So tell us, get us out. I mean, everybody knows what's going on right now, especially with the priest that was just beheaded. He was beheaded, and they actually filmed it and everything. Give us a rundown on what's happening globally with the jihad, and just start from there.
Well, first off, you know, kudos to you. You're obsessed with your freedom, as we all should be, because it's clearly in danger. And I have been doing this work since 9/11, because I, too, previous to 9/11, was unaware of the global jihad, despite 1993, the World Trade Center bombing, and, of course, Osama bin Laden sending the letter to Clinton, basically, and this is what is required under Islam, to invite the kuffar, to invite the infidel to convert. Before you attack them, you have to invite them to convert. And so I didn't know, I was really not aware of any of this. I had assumed my freedom, and, you know, I love my life. I was a career girl in New York City. I was the publisher of the New York Observer, and 9/11 opened my eyes. And to your point, increasingly, the media, the culture, the beltway scrubs the motive, scrubs the ideology behind this war. It's, people call it political correctness. I do not. It is not political correctness. It is the language of the conquered. It is Sharia. They are enforcing the Sharia under Islamic law. That's what Sharia is, Islamic law. You cannot criticize or insult Islam. And so increasingly I found myself drawn to the net, because that was the only place where good, bad, and indifferent, you had to become your own news editor, as it were, like which sources were reliable, which sources were, dishonest or hoaxes, or half of it was true, half of it wasn't. That's not good. Mm-hmm. In this war, you need good information, which is why the American people are so painfully misinformed, misled, mm-hmm. and have made a series of catastrophic decisions in their elected officials over the past 10 years. And as we see, and as I've warned, and my colleague as well, Robert Spencer, of the coming war, it's here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this attack, the attacks today, well, actually, over the past couple of weeks, I mean, are so gruesome, so monstrous, you really couldn't even make them up. For example, on Sunday, the bomber who thankfully was denied entrance into the music festival, which had 2,000 or 3,000 people, he was going to self-detonate. The death toll is unknowable, but it would have been horrible. But here we know that the bomber, what he did was he went into a wine bar and he detonated himself, killing himself, 15 injured. But he had joined Mujahideen, Zarqawi's group in Iraq for months. How did he get back into Europe? How is this happening? How are jihadis going back and forth? I mean, for example, the jihadi today who beheaded the priest and took hostages and slit the neck of a nun was a terror suspect under house arrest who had a monitoring bracelet on. He tried to go to fight in Syria last year. How does he get back into the country? And why do we stop them from going? Why don't we let devout Muslims that want to fight for the Islamic State go? And why don't we kill them there? By stopping them, by not allowing them to go, we are asking them to wage jihad here. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's devastating to me that, again, you know, with the bomber, okay, with the mall shooter, okay, they scrub his name. His name is Ali Somboli. His middle name is Dawood. So now they call him David Somboli. This is beyond a cluelessness. This is complicity. This is really dangerous. They call the niece jihadi. They said he was a lone wolf. We now know, first of all, there are no lone wolves in the global jihad. Mm-hmm. There are Muslim soldiers. They're all going by the same playbook. All of the soldiers for Hamas and Hezbollah and Mujahideen and Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda and Islamic State, and they're all using the same Quranic texts and teachings. So they're all Muslim soldiers in the global jihad, and there have been 8 people arrested in the Nice attack. Well, that's not a lone wolf. That's a pack. That's a pack of wolves. That's a jihad cell. So half the problem is the war, okay? And the other half is the denial, the appeasement, and the capitulation of the West. And that is really what worries me. I don't worry so much about the fanaticism of the enemy. I worry about the confusion on our side.
Yeah, I do too. And the thing is I've noticed lately too, which is really making my head almost explode, is now in Europe, wherever this happens, they say, oh, well, we couldn't find anything about ISIS on them, so it didn't have anything to do with Islamic terror. So this name thing, this naming all these groups is like a shell game. They're all going by the Quran. That is the main ingredient. So obfuscation there is so worrying.
Yeah, I mean, when they say he was or he wasn't inspired by ISIS, it's irrelevant. It's inspired by Islam. They're all yelling Allahu Akbar. I mean, it reminds me of this terrible story in Idaho where a gang of Muslim migrants raped a developmentally small 5-year-old, very little girl. They urinated on her. They urinated in her mouth. If it wasn't for a neighbor, Grandma Joe, who happened to walk into the laundry room, this never would have seen the light of day. And worse still is the media. When I had reported the story, and of course the media didn't, it went viral. I think it had 1 million shares on Facebook, which is a critical tool for us. This is our way of communicating. Facebook. Without Facebook, we're really like Helen Keller and Someone Move the Furniture. I mean, there's no getting through. And so what happened was the media jumped on the story because in my original reportage, which I was getting from people in the community, they said they were Syrian refugees. And it turned out they were Iraqi and Sudanese refugees. But because I said Syrian, this story wasn't true. That's what the media reported. The story's not true because it was not Syrian refugees. That's like saying the guy is not guilty because his socks were blue and not green, as originally reported. It's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're bringing with them a culture of oppression, misogyny, subjugation, and supremacism. And we're seeing this everywhere there is large Muslim migration. Everywhere. There is no country that escapes it. The more the violence, the bigger the Muslim population. It's directly correlated, and there's not one instance that you can point to where it says, well, you see, in this country, no. And so it's deeply worrisome when you have Trudeau and you have President Obama hell-bent on this fantasy. And it is a fantasy.
Yeah.
And you can deny reality, but you cannot avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. We know that the Bataclan massacre in Paris, they posed as migrants. The Brussels jihad attack, they posed as migrants. The Islamic State seized the passport machines in Syria. They're printing passports. There's no way to vet these people. Would you eat from a bowl of M&Ms if you knew that a number of them were laced with cyanide?
Yeah, exactly. That's what Robert Spencer said, too, when I had him on. He said the same thing. Now, I have a question for you about Europe is turning to the Islamic, you know, they've basically given themselves over to the Islamic rule. And I'm reading this book, Eurabia, the Euro-Arab Axis. I've just gotten into it.
Fatih Yayor, the greatest historian on Islam and Islam in the West, I think, in the world. I mean, far and above, head and shoulders, including Bernard Lewis, and who was a bit of a, you know, glossed over the treatment of Christians and Jews during, you know, the Cordoba and all that. So I'm not a big fan of Lewis, but that book is must reading. I'm so glad you're reading it.
Yeah. So I'm reading that right now, so I can see. It helps me piece things together. Now, when I also see Turkey going more and more Islamic with what Erdogan is doing, isn't this going to basically dissolve what we have as NATO? What's going on there?
Europe is going to dissolve. First of all, Erdogan, Prime Minister of Turkey, has been a long-time fundamentalist. I mean, this is the man who...
Yeah.
You know, was quoting the poem, "The mosques are our fortresses, the minarets are our bayonets, and the Muslim faithful are our soldiers." You know, as soon as he was elected, I was writing that he would be very destructive to Turkey, that he would his mission by objective would be to destroy Ataturk. I mean, look, why was Turkey such a successful Muslim country when so many of them are really utter failures, and the ones that are successful because Western technology found their oil, developed their oil, and that's where they get their wealth from. And so why was Turkey a modern Muslim successful country? Because Ataturk, Kemal Ataturk, when he took over in the early 20th century, he commanded the separation of mosque and state, which of course is very difficult because mosque is state. But he, his whole, governance, idea of governing was secularism. And even in the Constitution, it said that the military is responsible for secularism and maintaining the separation of mosque and state, which is why Prime Minister Erdogan has been going after senior members of the military and secularists, and this latest quote-unquote coup, I do believe was staged in order to do the ultimate purge, which we see is going on right now. I mean, Ataturk is dead, and Turkey is finished, and you will see it now hurled back into the 7th century. Very bad.
Yeah, so it's going to be it's going to bode very ill for the NATO situation. That's very worrying to me. I want you to talk about the election a little bit. Now, I've been following this again. I've been obsessed with this since Trump first got into the race back when they were picking, you know, the delegates, the person, the presidential nominee, because I had followed the story when he went after you after the Garland thing. And it was like, oh, my God, why did he have to say that, you know? But now it looks like he's gotten it. And he also has picked Mike Pence, who is a pro-Israel Christian running mate. And when you look at what happened at the Republican convention, which you were at, and you look at what's happening at the Democratic convention, there are no American flags there, as you've pointed out, and there are actually so-called Palestinian flags at this thing, and in the prayer room at the DNC, it's got Muslim paraphernalia or whatever in there. Can you talk about what's going on here?
Well, I will tell you that I've been thoroughly enjoying the DNC, because all the skullduggery and malfeasance of Hillary Clinton, that chicken has come home to roost. It's directed at her own party, and I think it's gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay? Because this
I
is what she's
that.
Been pulling on. This is what the Clintons have been pulling on the American people for the past 20 years. Look, I was at the RNC. There was a lot. The main topic amongst the delegates, amongst my peers, was everyone was talking about the same thing. What you were seeing on television was not what was happening on the floor. It just didn't reflect what was really going on. Yes, the first day there was definitely a kerfuffle about the rules, and that was accurate. But after that, nothing you saw was accurate. Look, I was on the floor when Ted Cruz spoke. When Ted Cruz was speaking, he was warmly welcomed. He was saying all the right things about individual rights, about the Constitution, about freedom, about terror, about Israel. Towards the end of his speech, Donald Trump came on to the convention floor. When he came on, of course people cheered. And when Trump, they weren't jeering Cruz. That didn't happen. But they created this narrative. So by the next day, when Trump was asked, now you can't corner Trump and say, well, he didn't endorse you. How do you feel about that? You can't taunt Trump. He won't have it. He's going to bite back. And he did. And then, of course, now Cruz. Now, and mind you, Trump had signed off on that speech. He had read it and signed off on it and okayed it. So now Cruz has to say, look, I didn't come right out and say that I endorsed Trump. He attacked my wife. He attacked my father. He called my father a communist who colluded with Lee Harvey Oswald. Listen, I mean, that was a completely manufactured kerfuffle. It was a good convention. We got behind Trump. Look, Trump is a patriot. And, yes, he definitely criticized me and said that I was an obnoxious blowhard and said that I was taunting Muslims when I had a free speech event in Garland, Texas, in the same room that Muslim leaders had an event right after Hebdo, standing in support of the ideology behind that slaughter. Muslim leaders in this country had a Stand with the Prophet conference 3 days after Hebdo was mercilessly slaughtered in the editorial offices in France. And so we had a free speech conference. And that's why we did that there. Now, did I agree with Trump? Of course not. Did I support Trump? He was not my pick. Cruz was my pick. Mm-hmm. But Cruz lost. And Trump won. And I support Trump 100%, and I do believe, to your point, that he's come a very long way.
I really do.
He knows a lot more than he knew then. And I like
he
that.
Definitely
I
does.
Like that he could learn.
You know, he's got really good instincts, because every time he says something, and then he's booed and booed. Everybody, you know, in the media, they say how stupid he is and how wrong he is. He's proven right every single time.
They did that to Reagan, too. It's what the media does. You show me one Republican president, or one Republican for that matter, that they like. I mean, they like Reagan now. Now they like Reagan when he's long dead. They despised him. They said he was nuts. They said he was Alzheimer. I mean, he was despised. It's like a joke to hear them say kind things about him. It's just completely and patently dishonest. What Republican do they like? They like Republicans that are on the left. They like, let's say, a John McCain, who really should be a Democrat, to be honest with you. He's really not a Republican. That's a Republican they can get behind. Democrat and Republican clothing. But that's it. The media is complicit. The media is dangerous. I call them the enemy because they are the enemy. They are the biggest enemy that we are fighting. They have enormous power. Look, it's the reason why I filed suit against Loretta Lynch. We filed a lawsuit a week and a half ago, against Loretta Lynch, challenging Section 230 of the FCC code. It grants Facebook and Twitter and YouTube immunity against these violations of free speech. Listen, that's the last frontier for us. That's all we've got.
Mm-hmm.
That and talk radio.
Yeah,
that's how we get on
messages. And that's why I've become so obsessed with. I mean, I'm just a grassroots person, and I'm trying to do these shows and get people on and do all the social networking stuff too, to get the message out that we are, our Western civilization is literally under attack. We will lose it if we don't start fighting back. And I know you're busy, but I just have a couple more things too that I want to ask you about. I know you do these really important ads. You use their own words against them. Like, they'll go, my jihad is going to the gym and whatever, whatever. And then you turn it around and say what their jihad really is. So tell
quotes.
People a little bit about that.
I have done hundreds, literally thousands of ads. All of them, I'm always in the media portrayed as, what are they? Oh, yes, provocateur. I'm being provocative. No, I'm responding to a dishonest ad usually run by a terror-tied Islamic group like CARE. The Council of American Islamic Relations, unindicted co-conspirators, and the largest terrorist funding trial. So they did a campaign. My jihad is making friends. My jihad is getting up in the morning and getting to the gym. So I did an ad campaign of high-profile Muslims, like the Prime Minister of Turkey, like the President of Iran, like the Fort Hood jihadi, like the Times Square bomber, using their quotes. And what starts to happen is I'm blocked from doing my ads. The Muslims can run anything they want. They're never denied. I'm blocked, and I have to sue. And I have sued in New York. I have sued in Washington. I have sued in Chicago. I've sued in Boston. I've sued in Detroit. I've won. I've always won. And what they do then is they block all political ads. I call it the Geliban.
Mm-hmm.
They block all political ads. The only plus side to that, and believe it or not, there is a plus side, is that the enemy can't run their blood libel and their ads are lies. And what's interesting is with all of my ads, I have to provide enormous substantiation of everything that I say in my ads. And I remember asking CBS Outdoor, does CARE have to provide this? Does the American Muslims for Palestine group have to provide this? They go, oh, no. Theirs is an opinion. Yours, you're stating is fact. I mean, I don't know how they did these mental gyrations. I don't know how they got around to these things. So the difficulty now is that these ads have been banned, and I had submitted and paid for a campaign in London because they're running these ads, you know, Allah is greatest in London, and I was running taxi ads with Muhammad's quotes, and they said that they ran, but they never ran. So now I have to file a lawsuit in London. I mean, it's just everything is an enormous battle. But the reason why I do those ads is to, again, leapfrog over the enormous leftist Islamic machinery, the media, the culture, the television, the schools, the universities. I mean, my colleagues and I, we don't even get invited to speak. We can't even speak anymore. There was a time we would speak and there'd be protests, you know, hate, not in our state, you know, ridiculous. And if my last talk at Brooklyn College, I mean, was a zoo. It's on YouTube.
Yeah,
people want to see is what is going on in the schools. I think people would be devastated. So you don't see it even on Fox, which I have my issues with, but they're better clearly than the PAC. And now that Roger Ailes is being forced out, I think that that's an enormous setback because Rupert has turned over the reins to his sons who are leftists, and I don't think we'll have anything.
That's deeply
troubling. And the timing on it right before the election, I mean, could it be worse?
Yeah, I know. Well, the same thing happened. What happened to us in Canada is we lost Ezra off of our TV
when the Canadian election was starting.
Yeah. And, so what do you think is how can every single level of our society from the top to the bottom be in collusion with covering up for the jihad? How can this be?
Well, look, this was not overnight. This has been going on for the past couple of decades. If you read in the memoranda of the Muslim Brotherhood Project, they said that what they needed was money, media, and men. And the right, really, we're not policy wonks. We're really not involved in government. Really, we want to build our own businesses or have our own families. We want the government out of our lives. That's what we do. The left wants to be involved in your life. They want to set policy. They want to, you know, the long march into academia. They want to be in the schools. And they did. They really took that long march, took the long view, and they have infiltrated the media, academia, the culture. And as we saw in this recent blockbuster story, which was, you know, huge and extraordinary because the AP did it. Now, the Associated Press, you know, they're notoriously leftist, but apparently they got angry that they found out, you know, it came out, I think it was WikiLeaks, that the Obama administration had been surveilling them, had been spying on the AP, and they did a deep dive on the Iran deal, on the Iran nuclear pact that President Obama had made with Iran. And what came out of this story, and it was jaw-dropping, was that these 85 or 95, but it was a goodly number, it was well over 85 organizations, NGOs, mostly Soros-backed, that were pro-Iranian and lobbying for the Iranian nuclear deal, were paying journalists. I mean, and I'm not talking about the Daily Kos. I'm talking about NPR, one of the venerable and most respected, you know, news institutions, $750,000 over the past couple of years. So if they were doing it with the Iran nuclear deal, you know, CARE, who we know before they stopped filing with the IRS, we know got $50 million from the Saudis, and I think journalists come very cheap, like a good dinner at Le Cirque or something like that. I mean, because they're slobs, you know. I think they were easily bought off. Why is it that whenever they mention CARE, they never, ever say unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorist funding trial in our nation's history, or that half of their leadership have been convicted of jihad terror-related crimes? And yet when they describe me, I'm always described as, you know, the hate group leader. What is that? I mean, first of all, my organization, the American Freedom Defense Initiative, is a human rights organization dedicated to freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, individual rights, and equality for all before the law. They never discuss my work with Muslim girls, getting them out of dangerous households where they want to live free, but their lives are in jeopardy if they won't wear the hijab or the burqa or the chador. I mean, that never gets mentioned. The work that we do really never gets mentioned. How does that happen? And it happens everywhere, every time. I'm not talking about Ezra. You know, Ezra, of course, gives me a fair shape. Thank God for rebel media. I'm so glad he started that. But in general, the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC, NBC, and there's a news blackout on my colleagues and me. You never see Wafa Sultan. Yes, you see Robert once in a while, but you don't see us. You don't see Ibn Warraq. And I mean, there's a reason that you see these stealth jihadists. You see these running dogs for Islam. You know, it's pay for play.
Yeah. And the thing is that the jihadists now are, you know, they're giving themselves it's going to be just too hard for people to ignore the truth as they continually act out in this 7th century barbarism that is just exploding all over the world. And, you know, when Obama got in, I was so, so worried. And as we've seen, things have gotten just incredibly bad as he has, you know, supported the jihad and the Islamic cause all over the place. It's just unbelievable. So this election is just so important. It's really between good and evil, if you ask me.
It always is. It's the eternal battle. Even now, is honestly between individual rights and statism and collectivism. Yeah. This is the eternal battle of man. You know, 100 years ago it was communism, and then it was the National Socialist Workers' Party, which is Nazism. Islam is state. There is no unique soul in Islam. That's why the left loves Islam, because there's no better way to control the people than the Sharia.
Exactly. That's so true. And you, I think I either saw you talk about it or read it in your organization. You've written out a plan on how to stop the jihad. I think there's like 10 points or something. Can you go through some of those?
Yeah, I had held a freedom conference on September 11, 2011. Little did I know that at the same time the U.S. Embassy in Cairo was being attacked. And I'm sorry, not 2011, 2012. And Benghazi was ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
We held a conference with world leaders in this fight, and we had Lars Vilks, the cartoonist, and Anders Gravers, and David Yerushalmi. And from that Congress, we developed an 18-point plan to defeat jihad. And I can tell you that if it had been followed, we would not be where we are now. It calls for removing these crippling rules of engagement, which our soldiers are forced to labor under. You can't fire first. Their hands are tied. You know, they have to be given the freedom to defend themselves. We call for profiling of Muslims at airports and in hiring in professions in which national security and public safety could be compromised. I mean, this is elemental. We call for the immediate investigation into foreign mosque funding in the West and for new legislation making foreign funding of mosques in non-Muslim nations illegal. No foreign funding of mosques. 80% of the mosques in America are funded by the Saudis. So you're going to get poisoned. We call for the surveillance of mosques and the regular inspection of mosques in the U.S. and other non-Muslim nations to look for pro-violence materials, to look for jihad material. Any mosque advocating for jihad or any aspect of Sharia that conflicts with our constitutional freedoms and our constitutional protections should be closed. We call for curriculum and Islam-related materials in our textbooks and museums to describe the Islamic doctrine and the history accurately and to include the violent doctrines and the 1,400-year war against unbelievers. We call for a halt in foreign aid to Islamic countries with Sharia-based constitutions and governments. We denounce the use of Islamic law in any Western court or any Western nation. We advocate the deportation hearings against non-Muslims who promote jihad in our nation. We call for the immediate halt of immigration by Muslims into nations that do not currently have a Muslim majority population. We call for laws providing that anyone seeking citizenship in the United States should be asked if he or she supports Sharia, and he or she should be investigated for ties to pro-Sharia groups, and if so, well, you know what, Leslie? Citizenship should not be granted. We call for the cancellation of citizenship or permanent residency for anyone who leaves the country of his residence to travel for the purpose of engaging in jihad activity and to refuse reentry into his country of residence after that jihad activity. I mean, I could go on, but it's an 18-point plan that would work.
Yeah, it would. Oh gosh, we so need that now. And as I was hearing you talk about those are things that need to happen in Canada like now too. So we'll just have to keep pressing on here. So I've kind of come to the end of what I had written, you know, questions written down. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, just that I salute what you're doing, that there are no casual observers in this war, that everybody must do their part. Everyone has a sphere of influence. There is no small action. You never see the reverberations of your actions. You don't know how many people's lives you touch. You have no idea how many people's eyes you open every day. Everyone should wake up and say, what can I do today to save the Republic, to preserve and defend freedom, even if it's sending articles out, even if it's sharing on Facebook or Twitter, even if it's talking to your peers at the water cooler, even those that don't want to hear it. You must educate those around you in your sphere of influence. We must build an army of Davids.
Yeah, very, very good point. Well, I thank you so much, Pamela, for coming on, because as I say, you're my mentor. You're the person I look to in this battle as my co-battleist, whatever you want to call it, my co-soldier.
And, my co-soldier, that works. You. Fellow warrior.
Yeah. Thank you so very much for taking the time, because I know you're really busy, especially when the attacks happen, these jihad attacks happen, everybody wants to talk to you. So again, I salute you, and I just praise all the good stuff you're doing, and God bless you.
God bless you, and everybody, she has to like Stop Islamization of Canada. That's Leslie's page.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie. Okay, darling.
You're welcome. We'll talk again sometime. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, everyone, so that was the end of the conversation, the taping that I had with Pamela Giller today, actually. So that was really fun to talk to her. I'll do a quick song here, a quick musical break, just for people to refresh their beverages or whatever they do. And then what we're going to do is have Josh Hasten come on. He's waiting on the line from Israel in the Gush Etzion area. And we're going to talk about Mike Pence and his project with Regavim. So I'm just going to pull up a song here. So we'll be right back. Josh, are you still there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you so much for holding, Josh. I'm just going to
give a
quick bio here. This is my friend Josh Hasten. He's calling from Israel, and I'm here in Vancouver. Josh is an author, and he's a radio host in Israel. He was with, actually, I followed him for a long time on Israel National News, and then on Voice of Israel, and now it's the Land of Israel, right, Josh?
Yeah, the landofisrael.com radio network.
Yeah,
that's where we're broadcasting. We're continuing our work.
Yeah, cool. And what we're going to talk about today is you did an interview. This is so exciting that I found this out. I saw your video that you posted that you had done an interview with Mike Pence, who's from your state of Indiana, and he's pro-Israel. He's a Christian. He's pro-Israel. So I want to hear all about that. And after that, I want to hear about Regavim, because I read on your Facebook page that you're with Regavim now, and that's really important. I went to a meeting about that when I was in Israel, so I want you to tell us about that afterwards. So great to talk to you, Josh. Again, it's been a long time. So tell us about your interview with Mike Pence, and what's he all about there?
Absolutely, Leslie. And good morning from Israel, from Gush Etzion, as you mentioned, just south of Jerusalem. And if I can, I can just want to let your listeners know. I mean, it's been a pretty hectic night in this area. The terror cell just several weeks ago that murdered Rabbi Mickey Mark, father of 10, from the community of Otniel, just south of here. The cell has been busted. The head terrorist has been killed in an IDF operation in the middle of the night. And the other members of the cell have been arrested. So I'm now just checking out the videos released by the IDF and the security officials. Unfortunately, Rabbi Mark was killed, but the cell responsible has been busted. There was an exchange of gunfire here in not too far from where I'm sitting last night. IDF forces, none of the soldiers were injured, thank God. And that terror cell has been busted. So I wanted to let your listeners know I'm seeing the news here this morning in Israel. And I'll post some of that information on Facebook. But that's
to
Governor
Mike Pence. And you can be found
at
Josh on Facebook. You're Josh Hasten, H-A-S-T-E-N, Josh Hasten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Governor
Thank
Mike
you for telling us about
is,
that, Josh. That's very good.
Sure.
I mean, it's good news that they caught them.
Yeah, thank God they caught them and killed the leader, the mastermind, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Governor Mike Pence is a personal friend of my family. I mean, I've known him since he ran for Congress for the first time back, it must be over 12 years ago. He was seeking support in his congressional run. So I've gotten to know him personally over the years in various capacities. And, you know, his record speaks for itself when it comes to Israel, both in the Congress and as governor of the state of Indiana. I mean, he has supported Israel throughout his entire career as a religious obligation. You mentioned he is a religious Christian, a Bible-believing Christian from humble beginnings. He always talks about the fact he grew up with a cornfield in his backyard in southern Indiana. That's where he came from, and he believes strongly in the Bible, and if you bless the Jewish people, you'll be blessed. And that is where he's coming from, and that is why he is so pro-Israel, not only in his words, but in his actions. You see it for yourself in terms of his legislation that he's passed in Congress. Most recently, he passed, according to Israel's ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, the anti-BDS legislation passed in the state of Indiana, went further than any other legislation compared to the other states. So, and that's all because of Governor Pence and his love and appreciation for the state of Israel and the Jewish people. And as you mentioned,
so impressed with him, Josh. I was so impressed with him when I saw him speak and I saw him with Mr. Trump and everything. I was so impressed. And then I was just thrilled to realize that you had interviewed him, and I didn't know you'd known him all those years. So that's fantastic. I'm so glad to have you report that. That gives me even more, joy about that pick. Wow.
I'll give you a little bit more insight just on a personal level. You know, Jews celebrate Hanukkah, Christians celebrate Christmas, but I know one holiday that Mike Pence personally celebrates is Israel Independence Day. He celebrates Yom HaTzmaut, Israel Independence Day. I know because he was with some members of my family this past year celebrating the return of the Jewish nation and the rebuilding of the young state of Israel here, celebrating Israel at 68. And he took part in festivities in a private party in Indianapolis. And he's the real deal when it comes to Israel. And you know, regardless of you know, some of the extremist claims against Donald Trump, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, Mike Pence is a true friend of Israel, a supporter of Israel. Yeah, I believe he will have strong influence on the policies of the next administration. Trump and Pence will come out on top, especially as you see the continuous disaster, which is the Democratic side in Hillary Clinton. And I just, based on policy alone, even with all the controversy now and the emails and everything going on, based on her policies over the year when it comes to Israel, I don't understand how anybody could, who values Israel and values the relationship and the strong ties between Israel and the U.S., could cast their vote for Hillary Clinton if Israel is their priority. I'm just not saying I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't either. I don't. It's completely baffling to me, and I've been totally immersed in all this stuff. I'm watching Hannity right now. I've got the sound turned off, but I've got Hannity on, and so last week I was watching the RNC, and now I'm watching the DNC, and so oh my gosh, it's just like a fingernail biting time, you know. But it's shocking how it can be so close when that all the corruption and things have come out about her. But I'm really hoping that the positive message, I think Trump has a positive message. People say he has a negative message. I think it's positive. And then I'm just really impressed with Governor Mike Pence. So, yeah. So, I know you have to go. You can't stay on too long, but if you have anything more to share about that, do. But also tell us about Regavim and also about your radio show on thelandofisrael.com.
So Regavim is an organization founded 10 years ago whose purpose is to safeguard state lands in Israel, whether you're talking about in the north of the country or the center or the south or Judea and Samaria. There's so much illegal activity and illegal building being carried out by various groups, minority groups here in Israel. So Regavim's purpose is that we're a legal watchdog trying to ensure the rule of law here in the democratic state of Israel and prevent those who think they're above the law and think that they can just seize any land wherever it is and start building homes. So Regavim monitors that activity, reports that activity to the authorities. And authorities don't act in a speedy manner, don't take care of their responsibilities, then Regavim goes to the next step and brings it up actually with the courts here in Israel with legal representation. And the goal really is, and I can give you an example, in what is known as Area C, which is under Israeli control, both administrative and military control, just outside of Jerusalem in Judea and Samaria, you have what's going on. Is the European Union is trying to establish a de facto Palestinian state. They have put more than 1,000 homes, if you will, buildings on the ground. You can see it for yourself. They proudly display the EU flag on the side of these buildings, and they're trying to create facts on the ground and seize this land and create a contiguous presence between, for example, between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea, between Bethlehem and Ramallah. They're trying to create these facts on the ground. If one day there's a return to negotiations, they'll turn around and say, hey, these areas are populated by Arabs or by Bedouin. You know, they're under our control. And therefore, in any future deal, these lands should belong to us. And that's their goal. In 2012 alone, the European Union spent 100 million euro. 100 million euro, just 1 year alone, in order to purchase these structures, to provide these people with indoor plumbing, electricity. And this isn't a humanitarian cause. They claim this is for humanitarian reasons. This is completely political. This is an attempt, illegal, under international law, an illegal attempt in violation of all agreements in order to seize land in the state of Israel. They're interfering in a country not under their jurisdiction. They're getting involved not only in Samaria and Jerusalem itself, and they are trying to create these facts on the ground and steal the land of Israel from the Jews. So that's Regavim's mantra, and its purpose and its goal is to monitor these illegal acts, report them to the officials, and try as best as we can to prevent these land grabs, which are sponsored by the EU, of course, supported by the Palestinian Authority and others. That, in a nutshell, is Regavim.
That is just unbelievable. How can people keep up with that? Do they have a website, Regavim?
Yeah, yeah. If you go to regavim.org, regavim.org, you can follow us on Facebook. We have very active. Those are the best ways. I mean, we post daily updates, and you see what Regavim uses, some of the state of the art technology, if you will, with maps and aerial footage. So you can actually monitor these illegal villages at this point, getting bigger and larger, and more European Union funding coming in, and more buildings, illegal buildings being put on the ground. They are stealing their, European Union all the way over there in Europe. They're here in Israel. They have a presence, and they are stealing state land. And our job is to stop that from happening.
And, I was just talking about this with Pamela Geller tonight, because I'm reading a book called Eurabia by Bot Yor, and I'm just getting into it, but the Islamic coalition, so for want of a word, is so ensconced there, as we can see with all the so-called immigration, everything happening. So of course it's going to infect their policies and whatever, and we can see it now, as you say, with this doubling down of trying to steal the Jewish land. So I'm so glad that you're involved with that, and I have kept an eye on Regavim, because I did go to a meeting with for them when I at the Begin Center, I think, when I was in Israel, right. And I do hope to be back in a few months, but yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. And thank you for being part of that. Now, what's happening with your now your radio show?
Yes, so my radio show has moved once again. As you mentioned before, I started on Israel National Radio probably by now 5-6 years ago, and then we had Voice of Israel, which was a startup radio station. Unfortunately, only lasted 1 year, but a few of my colleagues from Voice of Israel have now moved over to the Land of Israel Network. You can check it out on thelandofisrael.com. And some of the familiar faces and personalities you might know, Yishai Fleischer and Ari Abramowitz, Jeremy Gimpel, and Eve Harrow, and others.
Yeah, I know those guys. I know them.
Yeah. A bunch of excellent, excellent people and excellent radio personalities, and are doing so much for the state of Israel. So if you go to thelandofisrael.com, you'll see not only our radio shows, which we record, every show is weekly. My show comes out on Mondays. I actually interviewed this week Mark Zell, who is a representative of the International Republican Party, who attended in Cleveland. He came back and gave a report. He's actually a person who was not convinced Trump was the pick, and then came back extremely excited, convinced that it's Trump, Pence, no doubt. So we were, once a week, everyone does their show, and we bring you all of the latest that you're not getting in the mainstream media from Israel, from places like Judea and Samaria. Right now, the organization is trying to build the world headquarters. That's the project going on right now, a Cause Match project. You can check it on the site. Trying to create the world headquarters of the organization with radio capabilities and video, a lot of video now you'll see on the site. Not too far away from where I am, in a place called Ibei HaNachal, which has the most breathtaking views in all of Israel. I call it a 4,000-year-old view, not too far away here in southeastern Gush Etzion.
I'll have to come out when I get to Israel again. I'll have to come out. Yeah. Oh,
so you got to check it out. The buildings are going up, and the planting is being carried out by these guys. And we're moving forward, and we're trying to broadcast to the world and get as many people up to speed on the realities of things you're just not seeing in the mainstream media. The reality behind the story of Israel. the Temple Mount, to Judea, Samaria, to the north of the country, to the south, to the Lab. We're bringing you the real story with all of our wonderful hosts. So that's just another project that I'm working on these days.
Oh, fantastic. That's wonderful. Well, do you have anything else you want to add, Josh, before we go? Because I want to have you on again in the future. But
my pleasure.
I know you have to get, you've got stuff to do. But do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I would just say that, you know, Leslie, keep up. What you do is holy work. And the information you're bringing on your show and also through all of your social media posts, sharing the reality. I mean, it's holy work. It really is. I mean, you know, you see, it'll bring you back to the biblical story of the spies and how they spoke negatively of the land. But here you have yourself and others who are speaking positively and bringing the truth and the beauty of the land of Israel. And unfortunately, sometimes the news cycle brings us bad news, but we are moving full steam ahead and building the land and bringing Jews back home. Flights this summer are arriving with hundreds of Jews making Aliyah to Israel. Flight landed last week, and another one is coming over, and a flight of French Jews just arrived also last week. So onwards and upwards, despite the craziness and the madness. you know,
that's
wonderful. And we just have to be positive and keep a positive outlook and forward. Continue on this important work, building and developing the land of Israel. Modern miracle here in a 4,000-year-old country.
Oh, it's totally a miracle, totally. Well, thank you so much for being up so early. I know
my
you were actually working on that story this morning, but thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Josh. And I just love talking to you again. And I'll keep in touch for sure. And have a wonderful day.
Have a great day. Good night to you, I guess. It's late over there.
Yeah, it is. Good night. It is.
We're just starting
okay, Josh,
our
thanks
Wednesday.
So much. Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, guys, so that was my friend Josh Haston from Israel, and we're going to have him on again because he gives really good reports. He keeps up with everything, and he's such a really special person, and I've been actually following him in the media for many years now. So I was just going to say, I didn't mention my contact info and everything. Oh, so everybody, if you can share this this show, this link, because it gives out some really good information from Pamela Geller and also information of doing in Israel, what's going on there. So I'll just let you know what my webpage is, therealclearisrael.org, and you can connect to my social media there. I've got a webpage, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can, from my main page there, you can connect with me, and also my personal page, which is Leslie Ann Stoffel. And I've created another page, which is In Defense of Western Civilization, because this show is kind of, it does branch out into that. So I've got another Facebook page called that, and then also Stop the Islamization of Canada page. So if anybody wants to join that page. So I don't think there's anything else I was going to say. I'll just close out the show now with my usual song here. I'll just have to find it. Yeah, there it is. So, everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you were live or you're going to listen to the podcast later, and have a wonderful week. And I'll see you next time. I usually try to do a show every 2 weeks because they're so labor intensive, and I've got my actual job to do too. So thanks very much, and we'll see you next time. Shalom.